So let me start out by saying I have no financial relationships to disclose. Now, outside of this room, you'll find that many people are completely unaware that you can buy tobacco products online. My team has been studying websites that sell cigarettes for 16 years now, and much has changed, but much has stayed the same. Back then, and still today, internet tobacco vendors, or ITVs, offer cheap prices and do little more than lip service to preventing youth access. In recent years, in the absence of regulation, internet e-cigarette vendors, or IEVs, have exploded across the internet market. With online sales, it's easier now than ever to access these products without ever having to leave your home. And it's important that we not underestimate the internet e-cigarette market. As far back as 2012, the Laura Lard-owned Blue e-cigarette website was averaging 3 to 5 orders per minute during peak times. And that didn't include retail store sales. The online e-cigarette industry's sales for 2014 were estimated at $650 million. Now, some ITVs are pretty low-tech, like this one, but more and more we're seeing flashy websites with high youth appeal using media coverage, modern graphics, and sexy imagery of beautiful young people to their advantage to push e-cigarettes online and convince people that they're an appealing and safe product, whether or not they're looking to replace cigarettes. Many ITVs use sexy imagery like this one that recalls ads for Hooters restaurants and an obvious attempt to draw in male customers. Young, hormone-laden teens are likely to be particularly affected. Some IEVs try to capitalize on pop culture, like this one, Vaping Bad, which is trying to make money using the popularity of the TV show Breaking Bad and meth culture. Well, e-cigs are addictive, after all. Get your fix. And then there's the Vaping Dead e-cigarette liquid, capitalizing on the popularity of the TV show The Walking Dead, and perhaps foreshadowing what will happen to its users. Steampunk culture, which has been all the rage among young people in recent years, has been co-opted by a wide variety of e-cigarette companies as well. And while the FDA announced last April its intent to regulate e-cigarettes, the process will be time-consuming. It'll likely be 3 to 4 years before we see any specific regulations restricting marketing, youth access, flavors, and online sales. In the meantime, the e-cigarette industry can continue unfettered by federal regulation, drawing millions of teens into a lifetime of nicotine addiction with their products. Now, there have been several e-cigarette vendor website content analyses to date, including the one by the San Diego team you just saw. And in general, they've used relatively simple search engine keyword search strategies to identify vendors and have identified relatively small samples of internet e-cigarette vendors. My team goes to great lengths to identify as close as we can to the population of internet tobacco vendors using several sources. Our main source uses highly complex automated search algorithms that we've developed and annually updated since 2004 that search 180 million websites, newsgroups, message boards, and spam emails annually to find websites that may be ITVs. We also used a data set of tweets about e-cigarettes that included over 17,000 links, and additionally, we identified potential ITVs from prior waves of our surveillance, from a list that RJ Reynolds volunteered to send us, and from promotional sites we identified during our screening process. Ultimately, my staff manually screened over 32,000 unique URLs to determine if they were ITVs. We found over 2,500 ITVs in four main product categories, including 560 websites selling cigarettes, 479 selling little cigars, over 1,000 selling e-cigarettes, and over 1,400 selling all other types of tobacco products like hookah. We primarily assess ITV sales practices in two ways. We assess their advertised sales practices with website content analyses and their actual sales practices via youth purchase studies, because we found over the years that advertised and actual sales practices can vary quite a bit, particularly when it comes to age verification. So for our website content analysis, we selected the 200 most popular e-cigarette vendors based on their website traffic and included 80 more IEVs that were among the 200 most popular internet tobacco vendors in other categories, like websites selling traditional cigarettes, leaving us with a final N of 280. Offline browsable archives were created for data collection from all websites. Now, to assess actual sales practices, we selected the 98 most popular IEVs for youth purchase attempts by 10 minors aged 14 to 17. While the PACT Act in 2009 required age verification with government databases at the points of order and age verification at delivery for cigarettes, it does not currently affect e-cigarettes. However, North Carolina was among the first states to pass a law requiring age verification for online sales of e-cigarettes. It required age verification against government ID databases at the point of order. Our youth purchase study was the first to assess compliance with that law. Collecting data about website sales practices can be a challenge for a number of reasons, but my team and I have developed a great tool to aid in that process. Over the course of a dozen years, we've developed an exciting custom online data collection application called OnTrack to facilitate website content analysis surveys, one which I hope someday will be helpful to others in similar efforts. It has many advantages over the typical survey software like SurveyMonkey or Qualtrics. So, for example, it allows for single or double-coded surveys. More on that in a moment, though. Trying to find and code content on a website makes it really difficult to complete a normal survey in order. Typically, you search through the website, coding the information you find as you find it, rather than the other way around like you would with a typical survey. With OnTrack, you can complete a survey in any order, jumping between the tab sections to enter information as you find it on the website. It also allows for coding of a website over time, which is very useful for coding complex websites requiring return visits. Another great OnTrack feature is an embedded codebook. You can click on any survey item to see a detailed codebook definition pop up with graphic examples. OnTrack also makes it easy to ensure that we have no missing data by requiring answers to all items, showing progress indicators for the overall survey and for each tab section. Once all sections are complete, only then can you submit the record for auditing. And that's where the real beauty of OnTrack lies, in its auditing system. Once the survey has been completed by two coders, the auditing system compares the two records and highlights discrepancies in red. It gives a third audited record alongside with blanks for the discrepant items. Senior staff review the discrepancies, determine the correct answer based on archival copies of the websites, on the codebook, and when needed, discussion with me. And then they can click the correct answer in either coder's record or type a different answer and can edit other items as needed. And then after auditing, a third and final record is created, and the audited records can then be exported out of OnTrack and in a format that can be imported into any data analysis application. So now I'll share some of what we've learned about the e-cigarette industry from our studies. First, we found that 3/4 of all e-cigarette vendors sell their products online only with no retail store. They were located in over 25 countries, with 21% having indicators of two or more locations, like a phone number in New York and a shipping address in the UK, making it hard to pin down which jurisdiction they're actually in. But most of the IEVs that we found, 72%, were based in the US, primarily in high population states. We found that disposable e-cigarettes and starter kits were both widely available, although we were surprised to find that starter kits were often priced lower than disposables and in a price range easily accessible to teens. It seems that vendors are grouping disposables together in multi-packs or pricing them higher than their starter kits to try and get people to become regular users right away by making it cheaper to buy a starter kit than a try-and-throw-it-away disposable e-cigarette option. The commonality of free or nearly free shipping on these products further underscores the notion that online sellers are trying to reduce any barriers to their buyers becoming regular users and customers. Now, promotions like free shipping and social media links were no big surprise, but a substantial proportion of e-cigarette websites featured celebrity endorsements. 57 different celebrities using e-cigarettes were featured, some on multiple websites. Whether it's actually paid for by an e-cigarette company or not, it's often hard to discern, but celebrities like Johnny Depp and Katherine Heigl are seen using e-cigarettes in the media pretty often, which undoubtedly has a strong impact on the teens who see it and aspire to be like those celebrities. Then, IEVs post videos and photos of these e-cigarette sightings on their websites to draw in fans. Even more common than celebrity endorsements, 14% of vendors featured an endorsement from a supposed doctor attempting to give credibility to the notion that e-cigarettes are safe. Almost a third of vendors featured other promotions, even a free car giveaway. E-cigarette vendors make a wide variety of claims about the advantages of e-cigarettes over traditional cigarettes. trying to do away with their customers' potential concerns, like saying that they're healthier, cheaper, that they can help you circumvent smoke-free laws, that they're safer than secondhand smoke, and that they can help you quit smoking, which you see 32% of the vendors we looked at mentioned that they were a cessation device. Now, that last one in particular is heavily debated in the scientific literature. And while many vendors may be reluctant to overtly claim that their product can help you quit smoking for fear of forthcoming regulations prohibiting it, 17% of vendors included conflicting claims on their websites. For example, one claimed that their product had never been tested or proven as a cessation device, but many had used it as such. Others included official claims that e-cigs are not a smoking cessation product, but accompanied them with prominently featured customer testimonials that appeared to have been written by marketing copywriters, such as, "It can be very difficult for a chain smoker to quit his or her habit, but with an e-cigarette, this is no longer necessary." Or, "Even if you feel that smoking is an impossible habit to quit, this tool has helped millions around the world to stop smoking once and for all." Now, those don't sound like legitimate customer testimonials, do they? When it comes to payment and shipping methods used by e-cigarette vendors, we found that 97% accepted credit cards and 23% accepted PayPal, both of which are banned for cigarettes. The U.S. Postal Service was the most commonly offered shipping company, but they don't offer age verification at delivery, which is the only opportunity in the sales transaction for face-to-face age verification as required for cigarettes by the PACT Act. All of the vendors offered shippers that currently are banned for cigarettes, and extending the PACT Act and its related regulations to include e-cigarettes would cut off most payment and shipping options for these online vendors to get their products to their consumers. Not surprisingly, in the absence of federal regulations requiring them to do so, e-cig vendors did very little to verify customers' age. We found that 62% relied exclusively on age verification strategies that simply don't work, like clicking a button to indicate that you're of age. 6% didn't even do that. They had no age verification whatsoever. Only 3% required a driver's license to verify age, and while 7% claimed to verify age at delivery, as I said, advertised and actual practices vary quite a bit, and about half of that 7% claimed to verify age at delivery with the U.S. Postal Service, which doesn't offer that service. So clearly, they're lying. Most ITVs use self-age verification, like a click-through box, button, or checkbox, if they use any at all. Our research showed that 46% of IEVs rely on a strategy like this one to verify age. We also found that 27% of IEVs can ask the user to enter their date of birth to verify age. Of course, either of those age verification methods could be thwarted by simply lying about your age. And our research has shown that teens can easily buy cigarettes online. Now, the public health community has done a pretty good job of restricting youth access to cigarettes in retail stores. State compliance checks show that rates of sales to minors have dropped to 9% or lower. But in comparison, the situation with e-cigarette sales and the internet is still the Wild West. When we assessed actual vendor sales practices with our purchase study, only 5 orders out of 98 were rejected due to age verification, and 95% of received orders were simply left at the door. There was no age verification at delivery, and none complied with PACT level age verification. While 7 claimed to use age verification methods that complied with North Carolina's law, only 1 actually did. So you can see, again, the advertised and actual practices often do differ. All of the orders were delivered via companies that are banned from shipping cigarettes, underscoring the need to extend the PACT Act to include e-cigarettes as well. Of the packages that we received, only 16% featured names clearly indicating they were tobacco sellers, and only 15% had names that could be possibly recognized as e-cigarette related, making it very difficult for parents of young people ordering these products online to identify from the packages that they're receiving that their child is receiving tobacco products. There were customs declarations on 13 of the packages, but they clearly didn't identify themselves as e-cigarettes. 4 gave e-cigarette-related descriptors like atomizer device, and 4 outright lied, calling the products things like gift pen sets or lipstick. Again, it makes it hard for parents and, of course, for customs and the U.S. Postal Service to identify them as tobacco products. Only 44% of the e-cigarettes we received indicated where they were made. 94% of those were made in China, known for lax oversight of manufacturing standards, and only 3 orders indicated where the e-liquid was made, which is cause for concern. 24% of the orders received included promotional items, such as a free e-cigarette or free e-liquid. Our teens received up to 3 free bottles of e-liquid in addition to the 1 order. Only 45% of the products that we received featured health warnings, and 10% included pro-health claims, including a false claim that the product was recommended by the World Health Organization for cessation, and a long claim that you can see here that covered a wide variety of positive claims about e-cigarettes. The majority of e-cigarette manufacturers and sellers clearly are not trying to ensure that their customers know the real risks of the product that they're using, and instead are trying to make them appear safe and healthy, when in fact there is little evidence that they are. In 2009, the FSPTCA banned flavored cigarettes because of their high youth appeal. But rather than the products disappearing from the market, tobacco manufacturers simply adapted, putting flavors into other tobacco products where flavors weren't banned, like little cigars and e-cigarettes. Flavored e-cigarettes have skyrocketed in popularity as a prime entry point for youth into the e-cigarette market. Flavored tobacco products, e-cigarettes included, are often flavored with the same chemicals as popular candies and sugary drinks like Jolly Ranchers and Kool-Aid. Some of the flavoring compounds, like those that impart buttery or cinnamony flavors, have been found to be extremely dangerous when vaporized and inhaled, causing lung cell tissue death and rare lung diseases. Yet e-cigarette companies tout their flavoring compounds as approved by the FDA, without disclosing that safe to eat does not by any means mean safe to vaporize and inhale. The high youth appeal of flavored e-cigarettes is a major concern because, unlike flavored cigarettes, they are completely unregulated and growing in popularity among teen e-cigarette users, 40% of which have never smoked cigarettes. Flavors are a major selling point for many e-cigarette vendors, including this one that boasts over 1,200 flavors. A recent study found nearly 8,000 unique e-cigarette flavors on the internet market. I suspect that restrictions on flavored e-cigarettes will be one of the first e-cigarette regulations issued by the FDA, but unfortunately, that may be several years away. Our study found flavored e-cigarettes available from 80% of IEVs, with fruit and candy flavors being the most popular. Some had wild flavor names like Peanut Butter Jesus and Atomic Cinnicide, which, considering it has the dangerous chemical cinnamaldehyde in it, may just be a slow form of suicide. Some tried to mimic popular drinks like Energy Cow, which mimicked Red Bull, and Purple Drank, which, despite being described here as a grape drink, is a common slang term for an alcoholic mixed drink containing a powerful prescription cough medicine. In brand popularity comparisons of retail stores versus the internet, we found that the most popular brands sold in retail stores and the most searched brands online had very little crossover, and our content analysis found very few instances of popular retail store brands being sold online. It appears that the online and offline markets are reaching different customer bases with different brands of products, so continuing to monitor the online market for e-cigarettes in addition to the offline market remains very important. The U.S. has made great strides in tobacco control in the past 20 years. Adult and youth smoking rates are way down, minors' ability to purchase cigarettes in retail stores are down to an all-time low, but e-cigarettes are exploding in popularity and internet sales are still the wild, wild west, with very little compliance with or enforcement of the few regulations that have been passed affecting those sales. So where do we go from here? I hope to see action from the FDA regulating e-cigarette sales in the near future. My team will continue to study the sales and marketing practices of ITV websites and do detailed analyses of their policies, products, and claims to provide research evidence to inform FDA's development of regulations and enforcement plans in the years to come. Thank you. Any questions?
One question and then save the rest for the end of the session.
Can you tell us what percent of e-cigarette sales are through companies that also sell tobacco, that produce, manufacture, or sell tobacco?
Well, I know that every one of the major tobacco companies owns an e-cigarette company. Is that what you were...
No, I was wondering, of all of the e-cigarettes, what percent of them come through those companies?
I would guess that it's a relatively small percentage. Those companies are going to have bigger market share, but there are hundreds, thousands of companies selling e-cigarettes out there, and they're not all owned by tobacco companies.
Okay.
Thank you.
Our last speaker is going to be Mark Meany. He's an attorney with the Tobacco Control Legal Consortium, a program of the Public Health Law Center. Mark provides legal technical assistance on tobacco control policies and other public health issues related public health issues to public health professionals and organizations, attorneys, and advocates throughout the U.S. Mark also provides research and training on the development and implementation of tobacco control policies in state and local communities. Mark, please.